Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue. Mallory can't remember to say her name.
I can't remember how to start the podcast. But I have a good little intro. So we were about to start recording, and my baby is supposed to go down for a nap right now.
That's why we get to record.
Anyway. His dad put him down, and then he starts crying, so I go in to check on him real quick before we start, and he is like, you need to take this, and he gives me a thread. It's like
A serger thread.
It's like a serger tail or some kind of thread that was in his bed, and he's like, take this. He's like, you need to throw this in the trash can.
He took one off of my shirt yesterday.
So now we can
You got a thread.
Yeah, you got a thread. Thread, serger tails.
He's 2.5, is
he? Yeah. 2.5. Serger tails are a huge part of my children's lives. So anyway, I just thought that was a good intro to the podcast that he can't go down for his nap there's a serger tail in his bed. All right. So today we're going to talk about upgrading machines a little bit.
Which we decided there's not a good definition to. Definition? Is that what I said?
No, you said, I think you said it right.
I said definition?
Who knows? Maybe I'm not hearing it. I'm just going to say, if you like those episodes where we sort of like rant and we go, well, if you like this or if you like this, this is going to be one.
This is probably
going to
be one.
Episodes.
Right. Right.
You don't like
and
it.
If we're like goony and don't really give you a whole lot of sewing information, this could be one.
I think we should break this up between sort of sewing machine and serger. A little bit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, whatever.
So I had somebody in the group.
But anyway, I want to finish my sentence.
Yes.
Plus, I started when we did decide before, because we never script, really. Occasionally we'll have an outline for a podcast, but we never script. But we did talk about this a little bit. We went, there's no real good way to describe or define upgrade to a sewing machine.
Yeah, and I think that we've got some cool perspective on this because I would help. We used to sell sewing machines to people, and really, oh gosh, and I don't know if it is a personal experience or if I just made it that way, but I would definitely, it was different for everyone, and it's going to be different for you. But this can be a good way for you to start, just open up your brain a little bit, thinking about what really an upgrade would mean for you.
Right. So when someone says, I guess what we see on Facebook is, here's a picture of my current machine, whatever it might be. And I'm thinking about upgrading to this machine. Is this a good upgrade? That is not that simple of a question.
Right.
Or here's a picture of my machine. What do I upgrade to, next? That's not a simple question. There's not a one syllable answer or whatever to that.
So we had somebody say that they were sewing on a wimpy brand name. They mentioned the brand machine, and then they were looking at this machine, and it was a different brand.
It was a different brand, and it was brand new.
It was brand new.
And
to my eye, personally, I looked at that machine and I thought, I don't think that's going to have a lot more horsepower.
Mm-mm.
I still feel like it was on the lower end of the horsepower spectrum in sewing machine land. And so I said, I don't think this will be that big of an upgrade from right. the other one. That didn't say, and you know, what I was not trying to say either of the machines were like bad,
right?
You know, or anything wrong. Like that, or yes, right. because you know, we start somewhere within our budget and within our, you know, willingness to, you know, what we're willing to spend, what we're going to make, et cetera. And then it was very interesting because we got lots of other comments where someone's saying, I have this machine and I make lots of bags.
Right.
You know, and then we had some people who said, oh, well, I have like brand B, the new machine this person was looking at, and I just love it. Well, within every brand, there are different levels of machine.
Exactly. You know? You can't just say, you know, brand A is the perfect machine, you know, for everyone because it works for me.
Yes, exactly. Right? Even though, you know, we...
Or at a certain level because, okay, every manufacturer has like 30...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Different. The way things right. work nowadays, every manufacturer has all different levels of machines.
Right.
And, you know, we are sponsored by Baby Lock. I would not personally want to sew on like the first entry level Baby Lock for every day of my life.
Because right? I would not want to personally sew on probably any entry level machine That's, every day of my life because yeah. I haven't done it. Actually, here's my problem. I've never done it.
Well, you always said.
I've always had my.
You came from a different time too.
Well, right. Well,
you know?
I mean, my machine right now that's sitting down there that is, what, 56 years old, 54 years old or whatever that we have
yeah.
still, uh-huh. has multiple stitches. It has multiple feed dog positions.
Right.
You know, it was a zigzag. You know, it has more than a lot of machines now. And it had a direct current motor.
Yeah, and so...
So I was used to this sort of high-end machine from day one.
From day one, yeah. Right. And we sew a lot. And we sort of talked about this in the episode on the industrial machines, about mm-hmm. how different machines are meant to take different levels of wear and tear.
And do different you know? Things, right.
And so that's why people find themselves wanting to upgrade, even right. though that entry-level machine is not, you know, like we said, a bad machine or a wrong machine, but people start to sew and sew and sew, and they go forward. So for me, an upgrade on a machine... And this is hard right now in a time where a lot of stores might not be at full, like, opening capacity. Or maybe you don't feel comfortable going into a store and having the experience of, you know, sitting there at a sewing machine with a salesperson or something like that.
Because we have stay-at-home orders in yes. case someone's listening to this in the next decade.
2020.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. The yeah. You know, mm-hmm. we're almost at half a decade of podcasting.
Right. Yeah.
So... What would be a real definitive thing for me on a sewing machine is the motor, okay?
Yes.
Now, we call these – how we kind of distinguish here is we talk about a direct current motor. And this is the parlance of, you know, some sewing machine brands. They'll say, oh, now we get to here and we have this direct current right. motor. And – I did a broadcast on this way back when the self-sewn wardrobe first started, and I had people listen, and people said they could hear. I did a live broadcast right. between, it was the Baby Lock Molly and the Baby Lock Sophia, which have different names nowadays.
It's right. Like they're the same machine, but they have different names.
Like the Sunshine and the Verb or something. I don't know. Okay, so this machine, the Molly, it was like the third up in the line if you mm-hmm. were going to, you know, go up. So it's like number three. And then...
Which was like an entry-level machine.
Yeah, we would call it an entry-level mm-hmm. machine, a beginner machine.
Right.
And I just ran the foot pedal, and you could kind of hear it go, hum, hum, mm-hmm. hum, hum.
Because the current... undulates or goes up and down. It's not a steady current that is fed to the machine.
Okay.
And who, okay, so who, what what inventor was that, Mallory?
Tesla.
That was Tesla.
I know.
Okay. So Tesla was the alternating current
guy.
Electricity.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, then I went over to Sophia, which is, it is right. the Verve now. The other one's not the Sunshine. Sorry, Baby Lock. I don't know what it is. But I ran the foot pedal there, and you just heard.
Right. Steady to the metal. Right. Steady on the pedal. Right. So the amount of energy going to the machine stayed at a specific level if your foot stayed, you know, I mean, it's just like, so it's like if you put your foot on the gas and you go to 60 and you keep it at 60, okay?
I mean, it almost has cruise control if you start
So who was the inventor that did the direct current, Mallory?
Edison.
So we all know those guys, right?
Okay, and I guess it's hard because people are like, wait a minute, don't they plug into the same type of socket and blah, blah.
It's a whole, that has to do with voltage, okay? So
within,
that's a whole different thing, guys.
It's within the machine. It's the type of motor it has, okay? Right. So, and I mean, I'm not an electrician, but there is a noticeable difference here. So I would tell people when they came into my store, okay, you're looking for an upgrade, and we'd start them off at that Sophia, right? Why?
Yes.
Why?
It, depending on where they were, I guess you're saying looking for an upgrade.
Yes. Okay. Right. So let's say upgrade from a more basic, or maybe where this person was starting in the group.
Yeah, I'm gonna just drop a bomb right here, right?
Drop
now,
it.
Okay. The very, very entry level machine that we had in. No matter what line we were carrying or how many lines we were carrying at the time, I rarely wanted to sell.
Yeah.
It was those machines are what I would consider sometimes a little finicky.
I think they were frustrating.
Not durable. Right. So therefore, they became frustrating. That's why I would say to somebody, please don't go to a box store and buy the $69, $89 machine off the shelf. First of all, you get no service. You get no instruction.
Yeah.
So then, you can't, take the machine back in to the person that's behind that counter in that box store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, my bobbin's bunching up. What's going on? Or my bobbin thread's bunching up when it's probably not your bobbin thread. It's probably your upper thread, and they don't know that, blah, blah, blah. So I was afraid. I didn't want people to buy those machines because I was afraid they'd get turned off to sewing.
Right. And this is a really weird.
And this doesn't have to do with brand or anything. This is sort of a cross brands to me.
This is kind of a funny thing because a lot of people are like, well, it would be nice if sewing was more affordable. Like, let's not tell people they have to buy expensive stuff.
Right.
And that's why I've said before, I'm like, I wish that the super duper duper cheap thread that is so not great quality won't keep your stuff together. I just wish it wasn't manufactured.
Right.
You know?
I wish it wasn't an option.
Yeah, I just wish it wasn't an option. And I guess I don't want to say that for these sewing machines because there are people who are successful with them. We just, I think maybe in our capacity.
Well,
as dealers,
I mean,
people who
right. And I mean, I know people that do maybe craft sewing.
Yeah.
So they're, maybe they're not even sewing a thread. They're just using the punching of it. We did sell them with confidence to some people. But sometimes it was scary because I was so afraid they would be disappointed.
Right.
Usually I was up at the Molly. Do you know what I mean? That's I'm just being honest. I'm just being as honest as I can about this.
And I didn't want to, if that's what someone could afford, we'd make it work.
Right.
And the machines worked. They just didn't have some of the things.
But
that
like
made
I said, the I worried about the frustration level.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So when someone would come in from, they had a machine from a big box store, maybe they'd start out on the Molly or, something like that. Okay. The machines that are on that more entry level, I would show them this Sophia or I'd show them the Verve. It was at a really good price point. Okay. It was under $1,000 and it had that direct current motor, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'd show them. I'd get out my 10-layer of denim sample and show them, and I'd go up, and then I'd start straight on the 10 layers, and I would show them, this does this job so very consistently, And so that was what I was showing them. However, the funny thing about this machine is it comes with an embroidery unit.
Right.
Okay, so sometimes I get somebody
who said... Well, I think what was funny is a lot of people were selling it as an embroidery machine, and we really
and
weren't.
We were
selling it as this great... We also sold it as a good quality...
Portable
traveling machine for people who had humongous machines because they were used to a direct current.
They were used to that
strong motor. And if you sold them a less... of a motor in a machine, it didn't matter how many stitches it had or what it looked like or how pretty it was,
right.
It was like, well, this is, I don't like this way. And you know, they didn't even know why. They go, it makes a noise when I start sewing. Yeah. And we go, well, that's the motor. Yeah, right, right.
So sometimes people will be like, wait a minute, why are you showing me this embroidery machine? And it just happened to be that it was at this really excellent price point.
Absolutely.
With this really excellent motor. And then, so it's got an embroidery unit. So, okay, red, whoa.
That was just like extra.
Yeah.
That was like a bonus.
I would say, I can throw away this embroidery unit and I'd still sell it to you for this right. amount, because other brands of machines would have a comparable, you know, motor power in that price range. But when you go up to a machine like the Brilliant, okay, is the current, I think, iteration of this machine. Yeah, that was the Catherine. That machine would be more expensive. It didn't have an embroidery unit. However, it did have that strong motor, and it did have a little extra throat room.
Right.
But people would end up going to this machine with this embroidery unit because it was less money.
Which
is, like, budget is a super important part of this.
Budget can sometimes be everybody's first thing on their list, you know, and that's what we've often talked about this. When someone came into our shop, we would interview them
right.
about how they sewed, what they sewed, what they wanted to sew, you know, or bring in what you're sewing, or what are you sewing on now, you know, because you can't just say, when somebody comes in and goes, I want to upgrade my machine, it's not a straight line.
Yeah, so
there's little tributaries to go off into.
So that throat room. Okay, that is a big thing that would come up for people. Is that throat space, especially if they were trying to quilt their own quilt at home. That for a garment sewer?
Or they were, you know, wedding dresses, something bulk, anything with bulk.
But a lot of times with a garment sewer, they can be happier with not as much space to the right of the needle.
Right.
Because just how that works.
Well, that's because a wedding dress is as big as a quilt.
Right,
yeah,
right. But it's
nice
to have it.
Right.
So if they were really hankering for that, well, then we're showing
hankering.
Them. Hankering.
Hankering.
I've been staying at home with my husband from Macon, Missouri.
Woo!
Okay? So if they want that throat space.
It's good he doesn't listen to this.
Anchoring. The accomplished, the Jane that we talked about on the straight stitch, well, that's got a big old throat area. However, a very strong motor, right?
Right.
However, only as a straight stitch.
And certainly it certainly doesn't embroidery unless you do free. You can do free motion embroidery. That you can do.
Okay. And then we get up into then we're getting into the multi-$1,000 machines that have the nice big, you know, room over there. But then the person would not be interested in all the stitches or all the computerization. Mm. So you have to decide. When we've talked about this before, about how sometimes you go up the line and the company has just, they've put the features in.
Right.
And so then you're like, well, I don't care about the 500 stitches. Well, maybe you don't care about the 500 stitches. But when you get up to a machine that has 500 stitches, it's likely you're looking at a machine that has that stronger motor.
And it has other things. You know, it does have the self-threading.
The needle threader. Yeah,
the needle threader.
Huge deal.
Has a thread cutter or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might have something else that turns you on.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when I would first, for people who are going from a very beginner machine, try to get a demo. It can be over the phone. It can be a FaceTime.
I was going to say, you can do it. Absolutely. Anybody can make a video and ask questions about it. There's Zoom. I mean, if I was a dealer right now, I'd be Zooming like crazy. I'd be called the Zoom dealer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or if you're a customer, actually, I kind of thought about this, like doing an episode on how to shop during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. But, you know, tell the dealer you want these machines set up, and then you want to just hear them or something, or ask them about this feature. I think that motor is what's going to allow people to move forward on harder projects.
Right.
I do. I really do.
So here was the other dilemma that would arise.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would come in who had had a very nice, good quality machine for maybe 20 years.
Yeah, 30.
30
yeah,
years.
Yeah, they have a machine for a long time.
And I don't know, maybe something happened to it, or they were just in the itch to upgrade because their friend had something or whatever. And they would come in and they would say, "Or this happened to us. There was at one time only certain machines had a needle threader. Now I think, is there any without? I don't know.
Some kind of needle threader, right?
Yeah, automatic or manual type or whatever. But anyway, people would come in and say, I just need a machine with a needle threader. I can't see anymore. It's frustrating for me. I just need a machine with a needle threader. And they had been sewing on a machine they were otherwise happy with and was maybe, you know, an upper level to high level type machine. And they'd say, just show me one with the needle threader. And I would say to them, okay, but you're going to have to let me talk to you about this.
Right.
Because I can show you a machine with a needle threader and it will thread the needle for you every time, but you will not be happy with how it sews from what you're sewing on now.
Right.
So just because it has more stitches or it has a needle threader or it has a thread cutter or it has LED lighting, it might not make you happy from what you do have.
Yes.
Even though your machine is 20 or 30 years old. You've got these things are can be subtle and they have to be weighed.
Yes. And then people remember what they spent 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, there can be a big sticker shock. And well, so there's, but that's all relative. You
well,
know?
See, but that's kind of weird too, because the very first embroidery machine I bought was like $5,000.
Yeah.
Had a 4x4 inch hoop,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, it had a black and white pixel-ish screen. You know, you couldn't even tell what it
was.
So now if I took $5,000 into my, I would get so much more.
Right.
Now that would have been 25, 30 years ago.
1993
okay?
or 4,
five,
or 5.
Yeah, 5, something like that. But so, and now it all changes so quickly too. You know,
yes.
You interface with your computer, all kinds of things now.
Yes.
But if, like I said, I actually would be getting more for my money now than I got in 1995.
Right. And
you know,
that
with that type of machine. Now,
right.
Maybe another type of machine, I wouldn't be getting more. You know, I have the sales slip on the machine that was bought for me in 1966, right?
Right. So when you
and it was like $235.
So
it was really
yeah.
I think that's what my father might have made in like 2 weeks or
right.
something. You
right.
know. No, I sewed on it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but go ahead.
So when we talk about upgrading and we talk about budgeting, I love budgeting. When we talk about budgeting, sometimes somebody would come in. And let's just pretend that the machine that we were looking at, that it's like $699. They said, okay, well, I only have $300. And I'm like, well, right now, $300 isn't going to make you happy on this, you know, like if you maxed out your budget, it's just not even something you should do, because the $300 machine is not going to be an upgrade from what you
right.
bought.
I'm
you
afraid
know?
If I sell you a $300 machine, you're going to be disappointed.
So I'd say, okay, let's like wait a few months, or like, you know, here's your price slip, you know, or whatever, your sales quote and everything. Or, you know, maybe we would sometimes have like, you know, 0% financing on certain levels of, like, if it was low enough, you know, or something like that. So I would often say that, and that actually comes into play big time with
Sergers. The Sergers.
So we'll take a quick break and come back and talk about Sergers. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap. And the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your
or
thigh.
Your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing. But even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers, or they themselves used it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing. Yeah. I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So yeah. you've got...
You have imperial. And you have metric,
right?
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself, and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one, because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, ZD and I are going to have to get over our big bias here. Or
no, we don't.
No.
Some biases are good.
It's a good bias. It's a good bias, but they're...
They're good habits and like, bad habits. Good biases, bad biases.
What comes immediately to my mind is there's got to be more to say than what comes immediately to my mind, because when I think about upgrading a surgery, I'm like, just save till you can get a self-threading, self-tensioning baby lock. And that's the
you know
of
why
my advice.
You know why we say that? It's because it was our experience.
No, it really
is. Because
they're such good
machines. We would even have people that would come to us and say, I'm looking to upgrade my surgery and I'm looking at yours. Here, the baby lock, and I'm looking at brand B's and brand P's and all the, you know, whatever. And brand P is going to give me this and give me some thread and so. And they're, you know, yes, you know, whatever they give you, yes, you know, we can give you. But ours does cost more.
Yep.
But it does more. And I guarantee you happiness with this machine. Okay.
Yeah.
I could guarantee people happiness.
You really could.
And we had people. Most people bought from us, okay?
Yeah.
Most people did. We even had people that came in and wanted to buy machines of ours that didn't have the self-threading and the
self-tensioning
and all this. And we'd look at them and we'd go, we don't think you're going to be happy. You need to go save $500 and come back.
Yeah, so
that would happen too,
that's
honestly.
That's where we left this off.
Which makes us not a good salesperson.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you've ever been in sales, you're supposed to grab the sale. And if, you know, because that woman would have bought the other one and we would have had her.
We were
terribly ethical. It was just awful.
Ethical in the fact that we wanted to put the best sewing things in people's hands. Okay, this
happened. Well, we didn't want people to be unhappy.
This happened with sergers a lot.
Yeah.
However, okay, so the self-auto-tensioning, self-threading sergers from Baby Lock.
Right.
Starts off, it's not called the Imagine anymore, but it would start off around the Imagine.
Is it the Elite? No. What is it?
It's
I can't remember.
The Elite. Acclaim.
Acclaim.
It's the Acclaim.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the Acclaim. Below that's the Eclipse, which is probably not called the Eclipse anymore.
Probably not.
So a lot of times... The Eclipse doesn't have auto tension, so it have the right. no threading order.
It has the tubular auto threading,
right, and all that. But most often, people would go up from there. They were willing. They were willing to stretch their budgets. Okay. And like I said earlier, you know, the sample we were working with were people who were ready to come to a dealer.
Right.
You know, not everybody's ready to go to a dealer. They're perceived as more expensive, which they absolutely can be. But I did have to learn some of the lower end searchers, and I actually found them less terrifying than I thought. Mm-hmm. There is a serger by Baby Lock called the Vibrant.
Yeah.
It used to be called the Lauren. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I'm the most spoiled person in the world with sergers.
No, Joanne was. Remember?
No, I've been sewing on since I was
but
five.
But do you not remember the fit she had? She's like, why would anyone own one of these? This was our software teacher who, of course, had, like, all of our machines, too. And but she had a time Evolve, I think, serger.
She started off. She started off with an Evolve. Used one.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she
did.
Good deal.
She started off, I think, with the Evolve. Okay, and she would go to Baby Lock Tech with us, and she would take the required classes that we would have or whatever. And one of them was, I think, on the Lauren.
No, it was lower than that.
Whatever it was. And Mike, we could not shut her up for 2 days.
Every time
we'd sit down to eat or something, she goes, why would anyone? She was just like appalled that she had to waste her time threading this machine.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we all start somewhere.
Right.
If I was going to go start a hobby, me, like right now, actual Mallory. Okay, let's pretend I want to get into weaving.
Actual Mallory.
This isn't hypothetical. Let's pretend I want to get into weaving. I would go to a reputable person. There's like lots of weavers in this area. And I would say I would like a loom that will let me do the widest fabric possible, but will fit in my budget. Okay. And I would be willing to listen to somebody say, you know, you're just not going to be happy with this loom here. You should go up to this loom. And I would listen. However, I would still have my budget. And so I would find the equilibrium, you know, between the two. And I would believe that person.
Well, you would find your happy space. Yeah. Yeah, you would find your happy space.
But I would believe that person. That right. Like, let's say, you know, I could spend $300, but they were telling me to buy the $600 one. And I'm like, well, I just cannot do it. And I would like to start. And I would listen and I would believe them that I would have been happier with the $600 one. So that hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it will someday.
Well, and here's my experience. So I was into selling sewing machines, right?
Right.
When the tubular threaders came on.
Yeah.
Right. And exciting, which is self-threading. Time. Yeah. And they had this, it was a basset hound, picture of a basset hound, and they were blowing air through the sewing machine and his ears were flying.
Right.
Yeah. It was really cute. They had that for a long time. It was very cute. But here's what's funny is I was sent to learn the new machine. I'm like, they can't sell this for this. This is
well, you've been sewing on. Yeah, you're not the spoiled person that
right,
I am.
Right. You know, I had sewn on every kind of serger on earth, probably, you know. And I even had an old Baby Lock, like a non. Okay, so I'm like, they're not going to be able to sell this. I can. Look at how beautiful my rolled hem is once I get it. But I could thread a serger and troubleshoot a serger probably faster than anyone that I ever met.
ZD okay? was the fastest serge in the West.
Exactly. You know? Surging. But anyway, keep that baby surging. So anyway, I go and I have to eat my words. I mean... I was like, it's done. And of course, now don't tell anybody this, okay? But when I would go to those classes and supposed to learn the machines or be a baby, sometimes I didn't do exactly what the instructor said. I would do other things.
I don't know if any instructor listens to this. But I think, I'm going to say her name again. I think Candace listens. Candace knows. We are the most terrible students. And we did an episode on class etiquette. And we're not loud about it.
Yeah, but I don't tell people I don't go, hey, you can do this. I just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't tell anybody that I'm not doing what they're doing. I just do it anyway. But I started putting different threads through it, and I was freaked.
Yeah.
Just like in my glory, and all these things started churning in my head, like what I could do and everything. And like I said, you know, I came back and I ate my words, and everybody's like, so, and I'm like, well, we all need one.
Okay, so I had the experience of being super duper spoiled and just being like, just buy a baby lock, you know, right, with the self-threading and the auto-threading, or it's not worth it. Well, okay, there was a very insistent customer who wanted me to teach her how to use her serger. I don't even know if there was a brand on this thing. And it was old.
They're all made by the same company anyway.
Yeah, you know, it had, anyway, it was awful. It had a terrible owner's manual, okay? And I said, no, private lessons are $40 an hour. And then she paid me for it, so I had to teach her. And it was so frustrating. And then really, I worked on other sergers. And then that Vibrant did have things about it that made it more user-friendly, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, below that, I was sort of like, go up or just stay. So when someone came in and they had $400 or $500, I would say, I would really recommend that you save for the rest of this purchase. Otherwise, and so it's not saying, oh, it's not worth it to get something or your money's no good here or something like that. It's saying, I want that money to go to something that's actually an upgrade, because you could just throw $400 away.
Well, it's also being truthful.
Yeah.
We have the product you think you want.
Right.
But we really think now we know, after talking to you, that we know the product you should have to make you happy. So, you know, it wasn't like we were making the decision for the person.
No.
It's just that we were enlightening them, I guess. I mean, it was when, after talking to them, you're like, we knew they weren't going to be happy.
Okay, so with sergers, the motor thing applies as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can listen to a serger and you'll hear the hum, hum, hum. Or you will hear the as you start the foot pedal.
That's right.
Okay, that you can get up to that consistent, you know, speed. And then you will see how to thread it. Okay, so I'm coming off the baby lock, you know, pedestal here. And you need to have somebody thread it in front of you.
From the ground up.
Don't take your own scissors and cut the threads. That would be aggressive. But have them cut the threads and thread it from the ground up. And people can get nervous in front of you. And it does. It will take more than 5 seconds if it's not a self-threading serger.
Right. I mean, it will. Right.
But if you watch between models, you'll see the differences. There are some sergers that are engineered to give your hands more space to get to the loopers, et cetera, et cetera. And that Vibrant has this nice little lever that helps you thread the upper looper.
Right.
The upper looper of a serger is often hidden a little more than the lower looper. It's like it's kind of behind some stuff, okay? Am I saying that wrong?
You're backwards.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Lower looper.
Usually
sorry.
You see the upper looper,
Excuse me. So see how accessible that is for you to thread. So motor, accessibility of threading.
Or what happens if I don't have all, can I use the serger with, what about decorative threads?
Yeah.
What about different, what if I only want to change one thread? What happens? Ask those questions. Don't just sit down to a serger and they go, this is the pretty stitch and that you, and that's it.
That's right.
You really need, honestly, this is funny. Sewing machines have more to them. But I think you need to ask more questions about a serger, honestly.
Yes.
You know, sewing machine, I think most people are more familiar with, too.
Right.
And how it works and
a lot,
everything.
You know, and that would often be a lot of times people are like, I'm exploring sergers. And then I'm showing them this baby lock. And they're like, oh, my God. Right. You know, like, yeah. That is something to keep in mind. But there is with sergers, sometimes you will get those that have a 5-thread that may include the cover stitch.
Right.
So that's another thing you can
Right.
Do
so not. you have to think about, you know, all of the possibilities, okay?
However, if you remember what you spent on your last machine, and then if you're upgrading, really look to see if you're getting a better experience.
Just because you're paying more doesn't mean you're getting a better experience,
or
as Mallory says.
Or that it's new.
Right.
Okay?
Just, like, because, just it's, because it's right. When some, we used to have people come, or there was a time when husbands would come in to buy a sewing machine for, you know, a spouse.
And sometimes it was fun.
But they'd come in and they go, I just want to get my wife a new machine.
Yeah.
And we'd say, well, do you know what she's sewing on? Well, I don't know, but she makes this. And I'm like, I just want to spend, you know, $250 for a Christmas present. And I was like, I would suggest you not do this.
Yeah.
I would suggest you give her a $250 gift certificate, because for $250, he might get something that was way below what she was sewing on. Just it might be a little bit newer, a little bit shinier. It had a, you know, it might be lighter and easier to carry.
Yeah.
We had people that would come in and say that. I just want a sewing machine I can carry. You know, that happened too. But so, you know, it's almost like buying a car or something. It's just so much more complicated.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
It's not just, is it new? Is it bigger? Is it better? Does it have more?
Yeah. So when you are, you know, when you're looking for that upgrade, you might have saved up some money, but make sure that you're spending it. You know, maybe you need to wait a little longer.
Well, or decide what you mean by upgrade.
Yes, exactly.
Do you mean you want a embroidery machine? Do you mean you want decorative machines? Do you mean you want a machine that you know will pierce through all that denim or pierce through anything? Do you want one with a bigger throat area?
And that is one reason I like, I mean, there are a lot of reasons I like our group. However, this is a really great point, because we know what we'd recommend to you, of course, but I've almost stopped being like, just go buy a baby lock, of course, because I'm like, we've made it known, all right? But other people can give input. They can say, I have had this surgery, I was satisfied.
Right.
I have had this surgery, I was not satisfied. And you can get input from a lot of different people. So I'm saying, I don't think that this machine would be an upgrade, but maybe I am wrong. I haven't sewn on it. Somebody else comments and says I've made bags or whatever.
Right.
So if you could be as specific as possible, I want to go through, you know, four layers of canvas. I want to be able to thread my serger in under a minute or something like that. You know, if you have those things in mind, maybe since we have thousands of people in that group, people can tell you, yes, I've done that with this machine, or no, I have not done that with this machine.
So when people, so some things can be true on the surface, but they're not always true all the time. When someone says the vintage machine is much better, now I don't know what vintage means.
Well, okay, yeah, right.
Okay, that's a real arbitrary statement too. But you know, all the old machines are better than the new machines. Some of them are.
Depends
but
on it, which old machine and which new
what
machine.
What level are you talking about? Right. It's just, you know, I mean, I've seen machines that look like toys that are brand new that, you know, look, I wouldn't even want a child
or
to try and sew on.
Or I've seen an old machine and like pieces
right.
of the gears are falling out of the
right.
top of
and
it.
And then someone talks about, oh, this is a great machine. And you're like, well, if you can find replacement parts, I guess.
I can't remember who said this, but I think they're a longtime member of the group. I was doing those rope bowls.
Right.
Okay, and they said, this might be a good thing for a vintage machine. And I said, well, it needs to be a machine that can go through this. It doesn't.
Well, here's the other thing. A lot of vintage machines do not have the clearance under the
That's
presser
right.
foot, okay, that new machines, the presser foot does not go up as high. So be careful what you're recommending to people, too.
And I was so, you know, I would not have included this kind of detail in another time. Like, you know, we're going through this pandemic. But I said, if you test this and it seems like your machine can't handle it, don't do it.
Right.
Or don't do the decoration where you start to get more layers.
Right.
And I said, keep your foot level at
right.
all times, etc. I was giving some of this advice I don't think I would normally give. And so anyway, it's just, yeah, saying that about a vintage machine is, it can be a little bit too broad a brush to use.
Well, it's like anything.
You
if
know.
You say, well, old shoes are made better than new shoes. No. Not always.
Which old shoes? Which
yeah,
new
which
shoes?
New shoes?
You know,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's a really, I just think that that's, and like I said, it could be true.
Well, you know,
but,
the ladies, you know, we're kind of big proponents, I feel like, you know, if you just ask us our personal opinion. We like newer machines. The parts are more available, you know, blah, blah, blah.
They sew faster.
There's lots of reasons for that. However.
They sew faster.
However, there are some machines that we're sewing on now that are from the modern era, but they are getting older.
Yeah.
And like your, you know, we sold like the older versions of our sergers,
mm-hmm.
and they're like 15, 20 years old, getting old there, still working. Is that vintage? You know, like
I don't know what vintage is. Right.
So, mm-hmm. so would I?
If it's metal, if it's got a metal casing, does that make it vintage?
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
I mean, if it has the plastic casing, are we deciding now that that's not what's vintage? Whatever. I don't know.
No, we don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can upgrade. Well, this is a topic we didn't talk about a lot, but sometimes you can upgrade to a used machine.
Well, I was just going to say that sometimes you may come in and your new machine is someone else's old machine.
Yeah.
If they've pre-loved or whatever.
They've upgraded or something. Sometimes that can happen, that you get mm-hmm. some of those features. And that would happen with at the store. We would get that, you know. Where people would be coming in and they were wanting to buy something new, but we had something that was
less
expensive.
Sell Baby Luxe sergers before they got traded in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Before they got traded
sometimes
in.
Sometimes the feature they were looking for was on that used machine.
Right.
But it wasn't on, you know, the other upgrade option. So it's really good to have that idea of what you want. And you, of course, you don't always know specifically, but think about it. I was making a corset and I couldn't do this, or I was making a bag.
So I guess what... Now that I've listened to us sort of through this, maybe upgrade is just a poor word to use in this case. Maybe it is, I'm looking for a machine that's going to serve me better. Because upgrade is just such a non-specific word.
Sublimation.
Yeah. But I think what you need to do is go in and say to your dealer or whatever, whoever you're asking this of is, I'm sewing on this, and it doesn't do this for me. So I'm looking for a machine that does what my current machine has, plus this and this and this.
Right.
I think that's where we're coming from.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for listening. And I think this is just getting to know your sewing self well, you know, and maybe taking into account a little bit of the experience and expertise we have. But right now it is so very easy to research on the internet and get some, you know, personal testimonials or feedback that I do think that's a highlight of the 21st century. You know, you can contact so many more people with questions like this. You got anything else to say?
Well, I guess what I would like to say is if you're frustrated by this specific podcast.
We get it. It's fine.
We understand why. But we also do believe that we have made it, right? Because we just recently learned that someone named their little puppy after me.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, like, if you don't like this podcast, we don't care because someone named their dog after ZD.
Right. And then someone else's five-year-old was sitting on the potty singing Mallory's theme song.
You know, I forget about the theme song.
But we don't hear it.
You all might not know this, but every time we sit down, we don't play. Although, maybe we need a button in here.
But I guess this little, it's a little boy, I think. For some reason, I think it was a boy. I don't know. But he was like, So.
I've gotten other.
Sewing out loud.
I've been notified about other children singing it, but the dog thing.
The
is
dog
new.
Thing. I am honored.
It's new.
I am totally honored.
Okay.
Honored.
So we don't care what anybody thinks
so
of it anymore.
If you don't think we've made it, we really
you're
have.
Wrong.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong.
All right, everybody. We hope you're staying happy and healthy. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
First time you did something for the first time.